Hey, Murderheads.
Hi, Murderheads.
We just wanted to release a little mini episode to give you guys a little bit more taste of who we are and what we're all about, and dive a little bit more personally into Nikki and myself, because I think it's important that when you listen to us talk, you understand why we are the way we are and what our purpose of having a podcast is. So, yeah, bear with us here, and we're about to dive into two mini interviews with the writers of Murder, She Taped, with commentary by the ever-loving pup, Milo.
The wee baby.
Just turned 23. I mean, I had a little bit of a meltdown at 23, but that's just because you're like, what? I just feel like after 21, what more is there to live for? Like, you're legal everywhere now.
Oh, wait until you get to 25. I just like, I think
25, I think I'll be okay. I think it'll be like 30. You. And I've talked to people about the age 30, and everyone's like, yeah, every female has a breakdown at 30.
Yeah.
Because how old are you? Oh, I'm 30.
Oh. I'm going to say I'm 29 every time. I'll be 36. 29.
Oh, God. I'm going to be doing that shit, too. I know Julie does.
Julie get away with it, though. Okay, so what do you do for work?
So, I am very blessed. My skin's peeling. I am very blessed to have a... Stop staring at it.
It's like right on like her tattoo's nose is a bear, so it's like right on the bear's nose.
My bear got a sunburn.
She has a chat nose.
I just put lotion on. I think that's why.
Okay.
We'll go with that. So I am blessed to work for a staffing agency, or what we like to call a placement agency, where we focus on helping people who aren't really capable of getting structure in their life, and we give them structure and we give them the opportunity to get work again. And I mean, it's not all about people who can't do it themselves. I mean, we have people who have retired but don't want to sit at home, so they come here looking for work because they can kind of come in every day, whatever day they want to, and if we have something, we do, and if we don't, then we don't. And then we have kids who come in during their off season of school. But then we also have a lot of addicts walk in our door, or a lot of inner city youth, I want to say, that just turned 18 that have never worked before. They don't even know what a SIN card is, and they come in and they're looking for work. We have a lot of homeless people come in, a lot of convicts. We have a lot of criminals walk in our doors because no one else is willing to give them a second chance. And so I am so humbled to be able to work here and help them kind of find some work, but also work for a company that, I mean, the owner is all about encouraging travel and encouraging experience and encouraging love and support to everybody. So I know I can go to any of my nationals or my branch manager or the owner with any sort of concern, and instantly they have my back and my support 100%. I mean, I've worked for a lot of different companies where you don't have that kind of support. Yeah. And it's kind of crazy to know that I somehow landed an employer that really does try their ultimate best to make sure I'm happy.
Yeah, that's good. As for the convicts, could we interview them? Or...
Do you know how many times I've like, I had a gentleman come in who had an attempted murder charge, and I was so, I every time they come in, and if they, you know, when we talk, and if they do disclose that they are a criminal on probation or whatever the case may be, I'm always so intrigued when they tell me their stories, because we had one guy come in that it was literally just a bar fight that went wrong, and then he got attempted murder.
Yeah.
And he didn't mean to throw his life away. Or you have people who come in and they're in for trafficking, and you're like, what time in your life did you get so desperate? What made you that desperate to make that decision for that career? And so, yeah, it's pretty cool to be able to talk to them, and I'm sure we can hammer down some interviews with them.
That's cool. So tell me about your pets.
Oh, well, Milo is my ride or die, so she's my little American staffy. I got her, we're coming on 2 years here this summer, and before her, so I had, I should say, Duke is still very much in my life, Duke, and I adopted Duke from a local rescue, and pretty much me and my dad, since I lived with him and my grandma at the time, he helped me raise Duke from a puppy. And so when I moved out and I took Duke with him, my dad was super depressed.
Yeah, I mean, the relationship with Duke and your dad is
crazy.
Yeah, you can tell.
So when I moved out, my dad was just kind of like, how about Duke moves back? And so I lasted 2 weeks and I was like, oh, I'm so depressed. I hated not having a dog.
Yeah.
And so... And it, just visiting Duke wasn't enough. So I started going to different, I started checking in on different rescues and stuff. And then by luck of the draw, I found Milo on Facebook. And she was just 3-month-old, advertised as blue nose pity, went, met her, instantly fell in love. It was love at first sight. Took her home and she's been literally with me every minute of every day ever since. Unless I'm on vacation, my dog's with me, and at work I can bring her. So yeah, I do hope to eventually here get like a second dog, but I'm gonna wait a little bit before I do that. I think Milo will be so upset.
She will. She's not gonna have the center of attention.
Yeah, and she needs to be the center of attention at all times. but I actually had her talk to an animal communicator as well, and one thing the animal communicator said was that she know, like, A, Milo looks at me as if I'm her sister. I'm not the superior. We are equal. Every time I yell at her, it goes in one ear and out the other, because she knows deep down I love her and she can do no wrong in my eyes, which is so spot on.
Me and Milo are so much alike.
Yeah. And she's just, ever since she was with me, apparently she's just known, like, it's like she went from a super shitty situation to a meh situation and then to being with me, and she's like, the communicator said that my dog has absolutely no worries in the world. She just lives on cloud nine every day, and that means
she does,
and that means I'm doing my job as an owner. So yeah, the more pets are in my future, but
that's the only one right now. So where do you see yourself in 5 years?
That's a great question. Fuck me.
I was gonna make a joke. I'm not gonna make it.
Don't make it.
Okay, I'm not gonna do it.
So I would see myself in 5 years. I hope I'm still with the company I'm with now, in a different role. I want to be higher up the ladder. I want to earn myself a national title. That's my end goal with this company. Mm-hmm. Because I think I'd be a huge asset to the national team. But on more of a personal side, I want to continue pursuing psychology as well as obtaining a marketing degree. So I did enroll in a couple of psych courses, and I almost want to go more into like youth justice and learn the justice system a little bit more. Not only because it would be an asset for this job in particular, but also because that can eventually get me into some part-time addictions counseling, which is what I've always wanted to do. I am obsessed with addicts, and I want to work with inner city youth in particular. So kids who have been convicted for drug possession or trafficking under 18 would be the holy grail for me. I would love to work with kids who made some wrong decisions and who don't have the proper supports in place and be that support for them.
Do you think you'll stay here?
I would hope so. Honestly, like, I don't really want to leave TIPS. This is something that I've always considered myself a lifer. I feel like I would do the addictions thing on the side, even more so through a coaching approach. So I do,
But what about in the city? Would you stay in Edmonton, you think, in the next 5 years?
If you could see her face right now. I have been offered numerous times to have a job in Calgary.
Let's go.
And... And Nikki is not pressuring my decision at all.
I've wanted to move to Calgary for the last year.
Yeah, you have.
Let's go. Fuck
so,
it. Start over.
Fresh start. So I do, like, I do really want, I don't know where I'm going to be in 5 years, if I'm going to still be here, or if I'm going to be a little bit more adventurous and be in Calgary, probably living in your basement still. but it is, like, I don't know, like, where I'm going to be as far as my location goes, but I do know that I want to, I know what I want career wise. Fuck, I sound like my mother.
Yep, you do. Julie Jr.
Don't ever call me that again.
What do you love doing?
Oh my God.
taking baths.
Oh, I love baths. I'm a huge like candle bather too. Like I like the lights off, candles on. If I can somehow read a book in the dim light, I do. I also love being outside. Like lately I love pool. I'm just gonna add that I'm a fucking pool shark sometimes. And I love playing pool. But no, I would probably say that one of my favorite things to do is just go on adventures. I'm really spontaneous in that way. I love traveling. That's something that I'm trying to incorporate more in my life over the next year. So Murderheads, if you ever want us to come near you, you give us a shout because I will for sure arrange for that to happen.
I will need probably a week's notice.
Nikki's a planner. I just need 24 hours and I'll be there. But I definitely, like, I think traveling is a huge one for me. I feel so much more refreshed when I come back traveling. And I do want to experience the world a little bit more than I have. And then I love the idea of running. I mean, I like to run, and I really want to complete some 5K runs this year. So I'm working on that, but yeah, no, I love the little things in life, I guess you could say.
Good. What is something that you're passionate about?
I would say I'm probably most passionate about helping people. That's something that I've always chased career-wise, and now I've landed it where I am right now. I would consider myself a support net for a few of our crew members that come through our doors. I would also say that that's why I pursued life coaching and why I'm still attempting to pursue it once I get my life a little more on track. There's nothing I find more humbling than helping somebody realize like the beauty that they are, and I really like to focus on women in specific who have body dysmorphia like myself. That's something I've always struggled with, and it's about learning to love yourself for who you are and then practicing self-care and self-rituals. So I'd say I'm most passionate in helping people come to terms with who they are and loving themselves for who they are.
And I think you're really good at that because you struggle with that yourself. I mean, like, your therapist is telling you to do self-care, mm-hmm. and you're struggling with it, which I think is, like, so important for people to see. Mm-hmm. Because if you just sit there and you're like, well, I do it every day and there's no problem at all, they're just like, well, fuck you, because I can't. And I think mm-hmm. that's so important that, like, you tell your story, too. Like, yeah. You know, I struggle with it as well, but I'm working on it.
Well, and that's a comment that one of my friends made that I hadn't seen in a while. And she follows my blog, or when it was a blog. I turned it down for now. But I was like, I feel like I didn't know what to write about. And she was like, write about how you don't know what to write about. Or write about that you've started sporadically smoking. Or write about that you're struggling with this. Or write about that you're struggling with diet. Write about that you're eating McDonald's every day and you're mad at yourself. Like, write about these things because it does make you more human. Yeah. And then it makes you more relatable. And then when you come out on top, more people are going to buy into what you say, knowing that you were able to conquer exactly what they can't right now.
Yeah, I agree with that. So are you spiritual or religious?
Okay, so this question always sucks because I grew up in a very religious household. So my grandma had our house blessed every month by the priest. Grandma Lucy. I miss her. I'm baptized and stuff, which I don't even know like what Anglican is. It's some sort of like spin-off Catholicism okay. or something. But I definitely I'm not a churchgoer. I don't go every Sunday. I don't pray. I don't know what happens when you die, but I believe in something. So I would say more spiritual. I know you do. You're freaking sixth sense over there. I definitely am all about energy and about energy healing. I do believe as weird as it sounds, I do believe in crystal healing. That's why my pot has a bunch of crystals in it.
Her planter has crystals.
It's a pot.
It's a planter pot.
It's a fucking pot.
If we say pot, people don't, you like signal it's a pot. They don't know what it is. They're just like, what? She has crystals in her weed? No.
I would have never have thought of pot. It's just because you smoke too much marijuana.
That's what I should have answered. What do you love doing?
You should have. Smoking dope.
Pot.
Is dope weed? Right? Or is that crack?
No, every time I've heard dope, I don't know actually.
Yeah, don't fucking laugh at me. I have no idea.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
I Anyways, I'm definitely more about the energy healing stuff. I do believe in a higher power. I just don't know what that looks like. So I just practice. I think like being spiritual is just believing in something. And so that's what I do.
Okay.
Not Buddhism.
I have Buddhas all over my house.
Yeah, but I still kill spiders. Like, it's going out of style.
Okay.
Fuck them.
What makes you unique?
Can I put you on the spot? What makes me unique?
I would say your heart.
Yeah, but I think it's too big sometimes.
But I think that's what makes you so unique. Is that maybe in times where most people would be like, maybe we're just going to take a step back from this situation. You don't. Like, you still go full force into things.
Yeah, I force myself upon a lot of things.
Yeah, like you're full first person.
Yeah, I feel like I do, like, I think that it sucks for me sometimes because I give 110% of myself to everybody. Mm-hmm. And that could be, like, there was that guy we were talking about before that I gave 110% of myself to, even though he kept constantly running me over with a fucking bus.
Yep.
You know, or like my friend that's going through some things right now, she's making some poor decisions, and I, as much as she made the poor decisions with me over this last week, I was still at the hospital today to make sure she was okay. But like, it's great for them, but I find myself getting empty a lot. Like, I feel like I'm not taking care of myself because I'm so invested in taking care of other people. So I think my goal is to learn how to always prioritize myself, because I have always said, and I'll say it to my coaching clients, and I need to start saying it to myself, and I do, I just don't listen. But it's all about, if you have to look at yourself as, hi Milo. I told you there'd be commentary. You have to look at yourself as a cup, and then, or a kettle, let's say, a pot, a teapot. And you have three cups lined up of everybody that you love. We'll put like you, my mom, and, you know, Milo or whatever.
Yeah.
And you pour a little bit into every single person. And then if you don't step back and refuel,
yeah,
you're going to start pouring empty, and now you're not benefiting them, and you're definitely not benefiting yourself. So yeah, I would say my heart makes me really unique in that aspect. I just think sometimes I need to work on it.
And also you're like really understanding about things too.
Yeah, all it takes is an apology.
Yeah.
I've learned that over the last week, even with, again, that gentleman we were talking about. All it takes is for him to say sorry and it's okay. Or,
yeah,
you know, a friend to say sorry, or my boss to say sorry, or Cody to say sorry, whoever. Just needs to apologize and all is forgiven. So long as I feel like they acknowledge that what they did hurt me.
Yeah.
Again, though, not always the best solution.
Not the best one.
But it is something that makes me different, and I feel like people who don't take advantage of that are really grateful for it.
Yeah. So how different was your life 5 years ago?
Oh my God, how old was I? 23, 22, 21, 2019. I was 18!
You were just legal.
I was just a baby. I honestly, my life is so different, and in a few different ways. I mean, I had bad friends who I was wrapped up in my personal appearance and what other people thought of me, and I put so much emphasis on being popular because that was grade 12, and I put so much emphasis on who I was going to grad with, and my life was so wrapped around social hierarchy that I didn't really know myself at that age. Like, I was just kind of like trying to be whoever somebody needed or wanted. And I want to say that I've always been a little bit more mature for my age, but I definitely can admit that I have matured a hell of a ton in the last 5 years. I have found ambitions. I have created a better circle of friends. I have a better network. I have a better relationship with my parents because of it. I have better self-worth because of it, for the most part. But I would say that when I was 18, I was a mess. I was a fucking mess. And it's kind of cool to look back and be like, yeah, you came pretty goddamn far. And to be able to take ownership for that's really nice.
Yeah. And I think even like from the last, how many, 2 years that I've known you, almost 2 years, you've changed a lot as a person, which is good.
Yeah.
So what is one thing you want viewers to know about you?
Why did I put this question down? This question sucks.
This question sucks. That's why I flipped it. I turned it.
You did.
All of a sudden I made it, what are you going to do?
I would say I want viewers to know how passionate I am in everything that I do, and Murder, She Taped being one of them. But I also want to give credit to the fact that Nikki has definitely been carrying the team since we've opened, just because she's so spot on with social media and stuff. But I want people to know that at the end of the day, I am a person and Nikki is a person, and we're doing our ultimate best to make sure that we do some killer podcasts and, kind of like Nikki said, deliver sad news with at least a lesson, and sad news in the most lighthearted way that we possibly can manage it.
Yeah.
And I think that we're both really passionate in making sure that that happens and that this is successful. So
what made you want to do this podcast?
I want to say it was the fact that I have definitely been getting harder into true crime. Also, I had a friend who is willing to do it with me, because I would have never have done this alone. And also that I think it's so important to educate people on these cases, because there are so many ways to red flag a person, or there's so many ways to red flag a situation. Thursday, we had our first real experience with red flagging a situation. And I just find it really, really interesting to be able to deliver something that, like, people wouldn't necessarily think of. I mean, no one thinks that crime's in their backyard.
No.
But it is.
It is, yeah.
It's everywhere.
Yeah, that's true. So what's your end goal for Murder, She Taped?
I would say my end goal for Murder, She Taped is I think we're doing our job if we're able to deliver our message, tell a good story, share a lesson, and really impact our viewers. And whether that be we make them smile, we make them laugh, we make them think, I mean, I'm sure one day somebody's going to cry. I might cry.
I'll cry. I'm a crier.
You are. I'm surprised you haven't cried yet.
I know, so
am I. Milo.
Milo's sitting on my lap.
I would definitely say that I, too, want to be traveling a little bit more and educating murder heads more internationally, even nationally, to go and... I love public speaking. That is my favorite thing in the world. Oh my god, put me on a fucking stage. I will rock it.
Turn around and I'll read to the curtain.
I just think it would be so cool to be able to reach audiences and even talk about ourselves more and talk about why we're doing what we're doing and meet potentially people who are involved in these stories or things. I think that would be so crazy. My other end goal I want to help people accomplish things that they didn't necessarily think that they wanted to do. And I think us creating this podcast is a great way to do that. And I'll tell you why. We started this podcast with the intention of doing it for ourselves. And so often do people get really caught up in wanting to do things for the gratification or validation of others. And we're doing it because we want to do it.
That's true.
And I think it is incredibly powerful that, you know, what I love about our podcast versus other podcasts, they edit out all of the speech impediments and the weird words and the, you know, the laughs, and they edit everything out because they want to come off so professional.
Yeah.
And I value that and I understand that and I support that, but I wanted to do a podcast where it's two human beings coming forward with a message.
Yeah.
And that includes the speech impediment, or that includes the slur, or the fuck up on Coquitlam. It includes everything. And people are like, I feel like people are forgetting that. And I want everyone to remember that whether you want to write a book, or you want to create a podcast, or you want to write a song, or you want to talk in front of a group of people, you're a human being and you're not going to be perfect right off the bat. And I want to help you break that fear of being scared of making a mistake, because everyone makes mistakes.
I agree with that. That's good.
And that's the interview.
That's it.